Erlem Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again, and welcome back to Verulam Sports Podcasting. I'll tell you what, they say a week's a long time in politics. It can be an epoch in sport, but what a positive week it's been for the Hornets, showing not just great character, but great quality. They hadn't had a win in 12 the last time we spoke with Richard Walker, and like London buses, two crucial 6 points have come within that week's span. To unpack it, to tell us all about the great character and great quality demonstrated from the Hornets as they are in what our friend Richard refers to as brilliantly the Bear Sprint. Richard, welcome back to Verulam Sport Podcasting. How are you?
Yeah, good, Tony. You all right?
Doing really, really well. And I could imagine nowhere near as well as the mood in the camp of the Hornets after what has been a great week.
Been a really good week, and I think shown a lot of character. Both games, Watford have gone behind, and both games they've come back to win. And I just think that's massive. I think it's just such a big thing to do at a key time. You can't overstate how important and how much spirit and heart that takes to do that. So, yeah, very proud of the players, actually.
Do you know what? I think that's so critical. We were talking about character. That's something that can never, ever be disputed or debated about the Hornets. But you're dead right. To come from behind when you're in this Bear Sprint, not just once, but twice within the span of less than a week is phenomenal, particularly when you consider that Watford haven't had a come-from-behind victory until this week when they do it twice. Well, then it was January you had to go from to find that type of result. Let's focus initially on the midweek, Tuesday the 7th of July. Now relegated Norwich, who have the ignominious record of being the only club in Premier League history to be relegated 5 times. They were still at least fighting for their lives, though, when you collided with them on Tuesday. Buendia got the opener, but then Dawson, who's now becoming prolific, equalised after 10 minutes. But I think we mustn't not champion Welbeck. Tell you, Richard, we were saying, weren't we, last time we spoke, that he was looking on sparkling form, and that goal was champagne stuff. Just tell me a little bit about your thoughts from that game and, of course, that goal.
Yeah, he's a guy who has struggled with injuries throughout his career. Although when you look at how many games he's played for Arsenal and Man United, two big clubs, they've actually, Danny Welbeck's figures stack up really well. He's played 40 times for England. We were talking last time when we spoke about the fact that he's been out since the Tottenham game in October at White Hart Lane when he got injured very early on. For me, just watching him around the training ground, never broken stride in terms of his determination to get back. And I think when you've got people who are who's got a good character, a good heart, wants to do well, wants to play and wants to help the team, then I kind of put that down to a little bit of karma that he's been able to have some kind of influence at the back end of the season. And that is going to win any goal of the season contest you want to run this year. I mean, we haven't scored loads of goals, but I'll be amazed if that doesn't win the goal of the season, that overhead kick to secure a massive 3 points. And I thought he played really well in the game as well. I thought he was lively and bright. And I thought perhaps Tuesday took its toll on him a little bit Saturday. Because, you know, having not had 90 minutes at all this season, you know, he probably could see him really having to push through to get to the end of the game yesterday. And, you know, he came off an injury time, but he did a great shift again. out wide. You know, you could argue it's not his position, not necessarily a, you know, more natural centre forward, but he definitely offers something different to the team. So delighted for Danny that he was able to make such a big impact on that Norwich match.
As you say, capped 40 times for England, another Premier League legend, Ian Wright, really highly regards Welbeck. And just quite simply, what a way to open your Hornets account. As you say, it's got to be in the mix for goal of the season. A truly spectacular overhead kick. Before we move on to yet another come-from-behind victory, another crucial 3 points in this bare sprint, just briefly on Dawson, who we mentioned before in his earlier career, certainly had a bit of an eye for goal for a defender, but that was his second in five. And again, I guess that was very, very important because, as you say, it's so critical to show that character, but to get that equaliser just 6 minutes or so after going behind must have eased the nerves of the players, which it wouldn't be human if they weren't feeling. Little bit on Dawson's role.
Yeah, funny enough, I thought the game had started really well for Watford against Norwich. They looked really about it. They looked really up for the game. And I didn't actually think that the goal against knocked the team too much out of its stride. I think it probably added a little resolve, if anything. And I guess in the back of your mind, when you're playing a team that have let in plenty of goals, you kind of know there's a reason for that. And then they're likely to cede you more chances than perhaps a bigger team going one up, and where you could be in for a sort of long afternoon on the back of that. But I didn't feel we broke stride at all. I felt we carried on and definitely helped that the equaliser came quickly. But, I didn't see the confidence take a knock at that point. And I think the nerves came more to the fore after Danny Welbeck scored his goal because there was still 35 minutes to play. And I think that's where, if any, unlike the Newcastle game where the nerves were obvious in the first half, I thought the nerves were more obvious in the second half, having got ahead against Norwich. So whilst the results and the scoring pattern were the same, I thought they were two quite different games in how they played out.
Well, I've got to say, it's very rare that I get the predictions right, but I did. Yay,
yeah, me. You're right there.
Very rare. Moving on then to the second game, the crucial one against Newcastle, again at Vicarage Road. You identified just how critical perhaps these two games could be. And tell you what, my goodness me, I don't know whether you played out my little diatribe to the team or whether it was Pearson's inspiration or they just found something internally because the players have amply delivered. What a great results against Newcastle. Again, coming from behind. That hasn't happened, as I say, since January. And then twice within less than a week. Just how critical do you think those 6 points achieved will be now?
I think that another point would probably be enough to force. What another point would do to get on 35 points, it would force both teams below Watford to win three more games. Mm-hmm. Either of Bournemouth or Aston Villa, not both, but it would force one of them to win three more games. At the minute, we're at the point, goal difference notwithstanding, I know that's unlikely, we're at the point where two wins for Bournemouth, if we didn't get another point, would have them level. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't get another point, then we'd be losing goal differences across those three games. So I'd like one more point before I would feel that things were done. But you're talking about two teams here, one of whom hasn't won since February the 1st and one of whom hasn't won since January when Aston Villa beat Watford. So you're talking about two struggling teams suddenly producing championship winning form out of nowhere. I'm not trying to trivialise the situation.
No, not at all.
But that's the reality of what you're talking about. And when you're in this situation, you always look at the most bleak scenario, don't you, and think we've still got to do more. Obviously, a win would get it done, obviously. But, you know, that extra point, that would just give me a little more comfort. Let's put it that way.
No, I think that's very well said. But just quickly circling back to that second of two straight wins for Watford against Newcastle, a team that the Hornets have great form against, unbeaten now in six of their Premier League games at Vicarage Road against the Magpies. That was the third win, three draws in that run. But again, Newcastle got that first goal through Gale. Before they, you know, obviously there was still that pressure. And as you said, they looked a little nervy first half. But we haven't really mentioned the man, the golden boy for the Golden Boys, Troy Deeney, in recent weeks. And fair dues, they were spot kicks. But again, that entails, again, an element of pressure. And he just buried them like it was a walk in the park. Absolutely talismanic efforts there from the talisman, Deeney.
Yeah, and I enjoyed, I stood next to him, he was doing his post-match interviews, and he said I should have had four. And he should, but let no one underestimate the pressure he was under when he was running up to strike those penalties. No one should underestimate that pressure. It is an intense pressure, because the difference with a penalty to a free kick or a chance in open play is there is a massive expectation that it's almost a goal before you struck it. And the only way is down when you take a penalty.
True that.
It is literally a no-win situation. Because if you score, you're expected to score anyway. So I have great admiration for him as a footballer and a person. And I'm so glad that he stuck those two away for his own sake as much as for the club's.
He's locked in Watford folklore, irrespective of what happens for the rest of his career. But my goodness me, under pressure, with a lot to think about, just to have that strength to deliver those penalties with such conviction was such a testament to his character that you appreciated and explained beautifully just there. A man we haven't mentioned in a little while, I thought Will Hughes had a strong game in this crucial game against Newcastle. And then I'll tell you what, I think he's really improved and upped his level under the Pearson Shakespeare era.
Yeah, he's been the best player since we've come back for this 9-game end of the season. Will Hughes, he's been the standout performer. He's almost been nerveless in his performances, the way he's carried himself on the pitch and the way he's got around and really, really made every moment his. You know, he hasn't waited to see, he hasn't stopped and thought, he hasn't had an extra touch. He's been head and shoulders the best player in the midfield area of the restart matches. And again, a really good character. Someone who you can really turn to and rely on as a teammate. You know he's going to be there battling away. And, you know, his tenacity shouldn't belie the fact that he's a very skillful player as well. He's got a lot to offer. He'll probably talk about the fact he should get more goals, but he's playing in a deeper lying position at the moment, in a three, which is designed to release three forward players in Welbeck, Deeney and Sarr. So that wouldn't be his primary role in this side, but he's been a real leader, by example, during these matches.
England under 21 international. I wonder if Southgate is aware
he is. I don't think he'll get an England cap. I just don't think. I think Southgate's looking for players, all players who've got this really real pace and a sort of sprint quick rather than can get around. And I just don't see Will burrowing his way in at the moment, unfortunately. I think he's playing really well at what was an unfortunate time in terms of how much talent there is to be deployed by the England manager. So I think he can count himself a bit unlucky.
It's a very good point, but I definitely think if he were given an opportunity, he would step up to the plate, but I guess that's by the by. What I would say, though, Richard, is what he embodied there, as you described so eloquently, is what we were discussing last week when Pearson himself refers to that key word, bravery, and wanting the ball. It seems that Will Hughes, we talk about talisman Deeney, but more quietly, but pulling the strings, Will Hughes really took that message, heeded it, and as it sounds to me from what you've witnessed, has applied it right from the return of the Premier League. Real key player, and will be until the season is finished, because we're looking strong, but it ain't a job done just yet.
It's not, no, but he's the sort of person that you'd start thinking about your next season's team, building it around, as you allude to. Yeah, he definitely is. He's a really likeable character as well. He can be a real tricky customer to get to do media things, but actually I quite like that because he's got a sharp wit and he's very well intentioned, really cares. You can see that with his performances. So that's the sort of player that that's the sort of player that I want to see at this football club for a long time.
I've got to say, personally, I enjoyed spending a few moments in his company having a quick chat for Verum Sports last season. Real good guy. Anyway, moving on. Before we move on, another good guy, another key man, different character entirely. We've spoken about him before. But the man in the sticks, Ben Foster, a critical save. Sometimes these things matter every single bit as much, maybe even more than the goals. Great save from Foster. And ultimately, again, in a game that mattered, he stepped up and made a mega difference.
Yeah, he did. He made a big difference. He has had his difficulties in these few games, but I think he's another one who's got that experience to bring to bear, that when it really, really matters, you kind of know you're going to get what you need from someone like that. He's, a little bit like Troy in that regard, in that, you know, he's got history with the club. And when those big moments come up, you can bet that he's going to be there. But I thought it was an excellent one-on-one save from Alan St. Maximin. It's a better save on review than it perhaps felt live, because the ball was further away from his body. And he came out and narrowed the angle really, really well. Yeah, really well.
Yeah, definitely a great save and definitely a great pair of results there for Watford. As I mentioned, they hadn't had a come-from-behind win since January. There was, only 6 points from the last 12 matches. I mean, the pressure was on in the bare sprint. The sprint to the finish isn't yet finished, but goodness me, there is at least breathing space. Just quickly before we move on, and let's see if I can work the oracle again and get another prediction right. It would be something shocking. I just want to quickly get your take. We've eulogised about the Pearson era, but goodness me, you may as well refer to this man as Houdini, because again, Watford were rock bottom when he came to the club, as we know full well. But this is not the first time. He's done similar things with West Brom. He's done similar things with Leicester. You talk to people in and around Leicester City about their championship winning team, and many will remind us that that was the team that Pearson built. So just quickly, your thoughts on Mr. Houdini himself.
He's quite a character. He's very much his own man. He goes about things in very much his own way. The biggest compliment I can pay him about these last few weeks, that he's never once broken stride emotionally. He doesn't get up and he doesn't get down. He's very, very level-headed. And I think he backs himself to transmit that to the team. I think he backs himself to make that happen, to transmit it to the team that he believes in them, that he's not going to panic, he's not going to start worrying. And, you know, when you've got someone in charge like that, who's also quite sort of imposing character with his aura. You know, he's not a huge man. I mean, they call him Big Nigel and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not a huge guy. He's just got a presence about him that makes you want to be on side with him, makes you want to do the things that he's asking you to do. And I believe he's about to, hopefully very close to pulling off another great escape in his career.
I think it's looking very strong. Moving on then, the next game they do, as we know, come thick and fast. It's away this time at West Ham, West Ham versus Watford. West Ham also getting good results. Both teams on 34 points. Both teams are above the bare pit of the relegation zone. If one were to be cynical, a goalless draw wouldn't hurt either team here, would it?
What are you referring to here?
I'm saying nothing at all, but I'm just aware that, you know, I can imagine that wouldn't necessarily be a bad result considered by either team.
I've watched games like this in the past where a draw would suit both teams, and rarely do you get a game that you think is going to be a draw, even if it does end up like that, because I don't think either team actually want to approach a game and go, we're going to play for a draw. To be honest with you, I just don't think you can do that in the Premier League.
And players have got too much pride as much as anything, don't they?
Yeah. It just doesn't work either. Because what do you do? You're saying when you've got a chance to attack, you don't and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just doesn't work for me. I just don't buy that. So I know where you're heading with that one. A point would suit both sides, but 2 points would, 3 points, excuse me, would suit us even more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, the momentum is strong. But it's actually strong for West Ham too. I think this could have the makings of a really, really compelling fixture. I'm not going to go goalless, but I'm going to say it will be a competitive draw. I'm going to go 1-1. in this fixture.
3-3.
3-3. I'll tell you what, my goodness me, wouldn't that be a great way pretty much to seal survival?
And I think the shackles, the handbrakes and the shackles might be off in this game. So I can see a few goals. Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, inspired by Welbeck, Deeney's getting on the score sheet too. Saar is a man who's always got electric in his boots. There are goals in the Hornets, no questions about it. But I still say, I think in keeping it 1-1 on this one, I think that will be a crucial point for both sides. But as you say, I think for sure it'll be a competitive game. But what can I say, Richard, what a great week it's been for Watford, showing immense character in highly, highly intense conditions, coming from behind in two straight games to bag 6 points in the sprint against that mean old bear. Great results. Let's see how it builds. For now, though, always appreciative massively for your time. And as always, for myself personally, the whole team at Verulam Sport Podcasting, sending our best thoughts and wishes to the whole team and squad and staff at the mighty Watford Football Club. Thanks again, Richard.
Cheers, Tony. Thank you.